favorite Go Bible Today to enroll now. Leave your contact info for someone to reach out to you today. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. You will be glad you did. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about an issue today that it may seem unimportant. It may seem not necessary to talk about. But if you know the background, the setting, if you look at history past, see history present, we can see history future and know what is taking place. And we're talking about today asking the question, should President Trump intervene in the Christian slaughter in Nigeria? Now, the head of Nigeria is seated in the Oval Office with President Trump, kind of bowed up in the back and got a little hostile toward President Trump, saying that Christian persecution and slaughter was not taking place in Nigeria. President Trump showed him photographs and evidences and spoke about that. And the head of Nigeria still claims that's not happening in Nigeria. That's a lie. Ladies and gentlemen, what do you do as Christians today? How do we respond? Should we sit in silence when we're witnessing around the globe Christian persecution and increasingly openly see the persecution of Christians and Jews in America? What do you do? How should we respond to that? Ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing, we've seen for years the banning of the Bible in public schools, the banning of prayer in public schools, the banning of Christian voices in the marketplace, the refusal to allow things like Turning Point USA to go on the campuses of some of these major universities across America, because only the closed door is for the Christian and conservative, and open doors for all of that which is socialist, Marxist, communist that's being spewed in all of our campuses. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at headline, growing opposition. Listen to this, church hostility increasing nationwide. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's not talking about Uganda. It's not talking about Nigeria. It's not talking about other places around the globe where we see the Islamic jihadists bringing about the slaughter and the persecution of Christians. But it's right here in America. Listen to this article. 2 churches in North Carolina were targets of arson just a couple of weeks ago. Another example of increasing hostility against churches, according to the Family Research Council. Hostility against Christians in the United States, according to the Family Research Council's Religious Liberty Catalog, 415 publicly reported incidences that occurred just in 2024 and 485 instances that were the year before that. FRC has identified 1,384 acts of hostility toward Christians and churches in America. There were 50 documented instances of arson, vandalism, property theft, and property destruction targeting churches, profile organizations, and individuals in America. The article further states, with Christianity seemingly losing influence and respect in America, life and few people fewer people feeling emotionally or spiritually connected to the church, there may be less societal pressure to discourage would-be criminals from targeting our churches. The report notes, however, acts of hostility against churches have sent a message that churches are not wanted in our communities or even respected in general. Ladies and gentlemen, would you ever believe that that could happen in America? Would you have ever thought that? Ladies and gentlemen, here's the bottom line. All of this is promulgated and coming out of Islamic jihadism. Islamic jihad. Do you realize in Islamic nations, Christians and Jews are persecuted, just not slaughtered and put to death, but persecuted and shut out of society? I'm looking at my book, Is Islam Tolerant, page 234 and following. The subtitle in this portion is Islamic Law Tolerant, Islamic Law and Tolerance. According to Robert Spencer, I'm quoting Spencer, as stated in his book, The Myth of Islamic Tolerance, page 63, we find the legal ordinances which are enforced upon all Christians and Jews who reside in Muslim countries. Number one, Christians and Jews are not allowed to build churches, temples, or synagogues. Two, Christians and Jews are not allowed to pray or read their sacred books out loud in their homes or in churches, lest Muslims hear their prayers and get them. Christians and Jews are not allowed to print their religious books or sell them in public places. Christians and Jews are not allowed to install crosses or stars of David on their houses or churches, since they're symbols of infidelity, according to Islam. Number five, Christians and Jews are not allowed to broadcast or display their services on radio, television, or any other media in that country. Christians and Jews are not allowed to congregate publicly. Christians and Jews cannot join the army because they're not allowed to assume leadership positions in an Islamic nation. Is Islam therefore the most intolerant religion in the world? Yes. The Christian is accused of not being tolerant, but it's Islam that is intolerant. This article reads further. Any Muslim that believes, reads, or follows the words of the Quran cannot tolerate the words, the deeds, the teachings, the doctrines of theology of the Christian or the Western world. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a fact that what happens is Islamic jihadism that takes place, with the killing of the Jews, the murdering, the slaughter of Christians. So listen very carefully. I use that to illustrate for our understanding that around the globe, this is the move today. Listen, since the 7th century, early 7th century, under the leadership of Muhammad, there's been a move to bring to submission the entire globe. That move has not changed. The goal has not changed. The aim and ambition of Muslims has not changed. We find today the goal, the aim, the ambition, the aspiration of every Islamic jihadist is to control, to bring about submission to the Western world. They've already gotten most control of the European nations and the Mideast nations today. Ladies and gentlemen, it's because of Islamic jihadism and things that took place in Gaza, the things that's taken place in southern Lebanon that brings it about, and those in places where the Christians are now being slaughtered openly in Nigeria. It is the Islamic that's doing that. So, ladies and gentlemen, have we seen any major problem? Has there been any problem in relationship to Christians and churches being persecuted and prosecuted? I'm looking at a major document, and I'll just hit the highlights for you. What has happened in the past several years in relationship to churches and Christians, the persecution, the prosecution, and the murder rampage taking place by the Islamic jihadists? I'm going to cover this, and then we'll get back to the fundamentals of what's happening in America. What states are doing what? What has just happened in New York City? Who is that that just took control of New York City as mayor? It is an Islamic jihadist, socialist, Marxist, communist, supported by the Communist Party USA and about $4 million thus far of George Soros' money. And with what the socialist Marxist Mandami communist says that he's going to do, it will destroy the integrity of New York City, and Christians will be displaced all citizens, and Jews in particular, and Christians, will be displaced and will be replaced by Islamic jihadists in every high office in New York City just in the next few months to a year. I'm looking at the article. Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church, Charleston, South Carolina. A gunman entered the church during a Bible study and shot the worshipers, killing nine plus injuring others. Faith in Christ Church in Midland, Texas. A member of the Aryan Brotherhood admitted setting fire to the predominantly African-American church as part of a racially motivated attack. Demonstrates a target attack on houses of worship and combined arson and murder. Here's one. St. Dominic Church, Pakistan. Gunman entered the church and killed 18 people. Church in Indonesia, a bomb attack, Moldova, in front of the church, toddler killed and injured others. St. Peter and St. Paul's Church, Cairo, Egypt, suicide bomber killing 29, injuring 47. First Baptist Church, Sutherland, Texas, a mass shooting inside the church, 26 killed, 20 wounded. Bethel Memorial Methodist Church, Pakistan, suicide bomber and a gunman attacked the church, 9 killed, dozens injured. St. Francis Catholic Church, Nigeria, gunman opened fire and detonated explosives during the service. 41 people killed, many others injured. A church in Myanmar, it says, troops burned down the 129-year-old church and adjacent buildings as part of an attack on the village. First Presbyterian, Douglas, Arizona, a perpetrator convicted of hate and arson because of burning the church down. Church in Kenya. A mob torched the church where villagers sought refuge. Many charred bodies were found inside. St. Francis Church in Nigeria. Gunmen opened fire and set explosives during the service. Dozens and dozens killed. Sutherland, Texas. Mass shooting inside killed 26. Living Church of God, Brookfield, Wisconsin. A mass shooter. 8 persons killed, including the perpetrator, and 4 wounded. West Freeway Church of Christ, a gunman killed 2 people before he shot himself. First Baptist Church of Sutherland Springs, Texas, a mass shooting killing 26, wounding others. Presbyterian Church, Douglas, Arizona, historic churches were deliberately burned down in the city. And I could go on and on. A 7-page article, ladies and gentlemen, listing church after church after church in America and around the globe. So what am I saying? Ladies and gentlemen, it gets to the point then when this has taken place such a high-profile level. It's known internationally now, even though the Marxist media has tried to avoid covering it whatsoever. We've got some statesmen in the House that's talking about it. We've got some statesmen, a couple in the Senate, that's talking about it. They brought it to the attention of President Donald J. Trump, and now President Trump has said that he's going to do something about it. Ladies and gentlemen, the article reads, Nigeria rejects the claims of Christian genocide as President Trump talks about military action. U.S. President Donald J. Trump continued to threaten military action in the West African country over what he claimed was the persecution of Christians. Officials and experts in Nigeria on Sunday denied Trump's claim. Listen, officials and experts in Nigeria denied Trump's claims of mass killings of Christians, noting that the Boko Haram and Al-Qaeda-linked groups target people of all faiths in Africa's most populous country. But Trump, who has directed his government to prepare for possible fast, and that's highlighted in this article, military action in Africa's most populous country, doubled down on the threat Sunday, saying that he was considering a range of military options in Nigeria. When asked by a reporter if he considered U.S. troops on the ground in Nigeria or airstrikes, Trump replied, could be. I mean, a lot of things could be. I envision a lot of things. Quote, this is Trump's words, they're killing Christians and killing them in very large numbers. We're not going to allow that to happen. Nigeria, a country of more than 200 million people, is divided between Muslims north and mostly Christians south. So, ladies and gentlemen, the Islamics are invading in that nation, wiping out, slaughtering entire villages, entire churches, burning the churches, slaughtering the Christians, annihilating them, eviscerating them, and burning the church buildings. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Islamic jihadism on the warpath. Islamic jihadism that says that they will not allow Christians to be anywhere in their midst. Islamic jihadism, it's called jihad, and yet there are those that claim that does not take place with Islam. Let me read you a few Islamic surahs out of their noble Quran. Surah 2191, and kill them, all non-believers, wherever you find them, kill them. Surah 2193, fight until there's no more disbelief in Allah. Surah 2226, holy fighting is Allah's cause, is ordained for every Muslim. Surah 456, those who disbelieve, we shall burn them in fire. Surah 4101, all disbelievers, non-Muslims, are ever unto you an open enemy. Surah 4:102, Allah has prepared a humiliating torment for all those that are non-Muslims. Surah 8:55, the worst moving living creature before Allah are those who disbelieve that are non-Muslims. Ladies and gentlemen, the Quran itself couldn't be any more clear as to the goal, the motive, the ambition, the aim of the Islamics around the globe. And yet in America, we allow Islamics to run for office. We have Islamic jihadists in the U.S. House and in the Senate. We have Islamic jihadists running city after city after city in America. Right now, Dearborn, Michigan, owned, operated, and controlled by Islamic jihadists. We have in Wisconsin. We have in New York City. We have in Texas. In Texas, ladies and gentlemen, we've got 330 mosques with 450,000 Islamic jihadists in the nation. And may I remind you, even at the risk of being redundant, that according to my research, ladies and gentlemen, when Islam gets to the point of between 2% and 6% in any city, any state, any nation, they rise up to take control and to demand having their way. So, ladies and gentlemen, if we understand in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and following, that the Scripture says, in the last days, perilous, dark, dangerous, devastating, difficult times shall come. It appears that, ladies and gentlemen, we're there today. And it appears that the Democratic politicians are simply not concerned. We see, especially in view of having elected an Islamic mayor in New York City. We have elected House members in the U.S. House of Representatives. We've elected Islamic jihadists in the Senate and in Michigan, Wisconsin, New York City officials seriously outnumber those that want to reverse it. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, what can you expect? In America, we're producing, I believe it is like 2.3 children per couple, and with Islam, it's 8.9. In fact, about 25 years ago, the Islamics bragged about the fact that they would take control of America, not by open war, but by birth, by numbers. They would overpopulate and take control. In fact, you've heard me say before, and at the risk of redundancy, I'll say again, when the individual that was the head of counsel in American Islamic Relations in Tampa, Florida, on the website before it was taken down, said for every Muslim to run for office, become a part of the political process, and run for every office possible, even if it's the office of dog catcher. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand the danger of putting Islamic jihadists in positions. There's some nations that will not have a person is not qualified to run for office if he is an Islamic. I believe, really, ladies and gentlemen, we need to get back to the basics. If the person is not 100% assimilated in America, if he's not in full favor of our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and all that God has given us with our founding documents, he ought not to be allowed to run for any office in our nation whatsoever, even at the lowest level. Chip Roy, out of Texas. Tommy Tuberville, out of Alabama. Of both running bills that will prevent any Islamic person from coming into America and taking any position in leadership. We'll make it illegal if they believe in Sharia law. Sharia law simply is Islamic law. Islamic law is in total contradiction to what we find in the jurisprudence in America. Ladies and gentlemen, our president has announced that he's going to do something about it in Nigeria. I believe that we need to recognize it and encourage him to do so. I'm looking at an article again. This is from ACLJ. This is what ACLJ, Jay Sekulow, says. Christians are facing genocide, but thanks to your voice, through the ACLJ, President Trump is taking bold action, including military options to save dying Christians in Nigeria. Islamic radicals have decimated the nation, encircling entire villages in the dead of night, massacring, raping, pillaging, torching the villagers, and killing them. Over 7,000 Nigerian Christians have been killed just in 2025 alone, with 120,000 since 2009. Yet, Nigerian Muslim president has denied any violence in Nigeria. Ladies and gentlemen, it demands our prayer, demands our attention, demands our going before God and asking God to preserve us and to stop. Listen, I believe we need to pray and ask God to stop every political motivator, every political agent of any type that is pushing for an Islamic candidate for any office. Do you realize that when this Islamic communist jihadist was elected mayor in New York, Zohran Mandami, the Islamic said, and I quote, "We have over 1,000 future candidates to run for office across America. If Madami is elected," he was elected. What can we expect in 2026 election and following? And it's kind of indescript. It's never covered by the Marxist media that this person is an Islamic jihadist. You can just look at the name. You can look at the face. You can look at what, and you, rarely would they tell you the background of the setting of those that are running, because the Islamic jihadists, the Marxist media, is all in favor of seeing America overthrown. This is the reason today you see the ICE agents, the National Guard agents, etc., in city after city, where they're being spit at, they're having things thrown at them, and now recently they've been shot at. We need to understand that we're in a position today in America of chaos, confusion, and calamity. And much of that is owed to the fact that we have a divided nation, because so many standing up for so-called Palestine, so many standing up for what is called constitutional rights for these that are illegal invaders coming into America, most of which have Islamic roots. Yes, I believe every last illegal invader in America needs to be transported out of America before it's too late to remove them. Ladies and gentlemen, our president said that he's going to do something about it. My position is, yes, he should. When the question is asked, should President Trump intervene in the Christian persecution and slaughter in Nigeria? My answer is unequivocally yes. Love to hear from you. 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Do you disagree? You agree? On what basis do you think should decisions should be made to not go into Nigeria to protect us? Ladies and gentlemen, should America become involved in the protecting of the lives of the Nigerian Christians, or should we just allow the continuing slaughter to take place? Some are saying no. Some of the media is upset. Much of the left, the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party, many of them are saying, no, 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 we should not do so. Well, let me ask you a question. Why did we go into Iraq, Islamic nation? Did we have any national interest there? We went into Iraq. Why? When it was an Islamic jihadist nation, ladies and gentlemen, and the Islamic jihadist with their goal of destroying every Christian and every Jew on the face of the earth. We fought in Afghanistan. Why? Islamic tolerance was not allowed. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we need to take a stand for what is called truth. I believe Lisa's on the line. Lisa, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Hello, Dr. Youngblood. Yes, I totally agree with you on the point that we should not allow anybody that has not assimilated into our country and adapted the American values to run for office of any kind. It is a great misstep on our behalf, and I'm not sure how to fix it, but we need to know how to fix it. People are standing for freedom of religion. And every time I mention it, I'm told, well, they have freedom of religion. And I go back to, well, the original founding fathers would never have left that unclear, because it was never fathomed that somebody would build it. We would allow somebody to build a country within our country. It just is. It's so far from the original intent of the Constitution.
Absolutely. When you say freedom of religion, what does that connote? Many think, well, whatever it is, if it's Buddhist, it's Hindu, it's Islam, it's whatever, whatever. But our founding fathers, as you led to or alluded to a moment ago, they talked about true religion. When they talked about religion, they talked about true religion. And in the context and the setting of the debate for the wording of our Constitution and the debate and the wording for our Bill of Rights, it was born out of it being known that the only true religion is Christianity. So they used the term true religion. And I believe, very frankly, that was a grave mistake. That's led us to the point today that it's misinterpreted, misconstrued, misunderstood by most today. This is the reason you see in Europe, the UK in particular, and if anybody go back and listen to any of my broadcasts for the past 10, 12 years, if anybody go back and listen to what I've said from the pulpit for the last 30 years, I've said if you want to know where America will be in 10 or 15 years, look at Europe. Look at the UK. And that's exactly where it has come to in the UK. A pastor recently in the UK was prosecuted, sentenced to 4 years, simply because he challenged the government there with what they were doing with praising a jihadist for his life as a martyr, and was going to name streets after that martyr. As a result of that, he was prosecuted, put in and sentenced to 4 years in jail. And Lisa, one of the things that's happening right now in the city of Jacksonville is the push for an Islamic jihadist slaughterhouse. And yet across Europe, Halal, as it is called, Islamic slaughtering, has been banned. For example, European countries have effectively banned halal slaughtering in Sweden, France, Norway, Iceland, Slovenia, Belgium, Denmark, and I could go on and on and on. It's been canceled. You cannot do it. But yet right now, Lisa, it's very important for our listeners, local level, to understand that the city council, the city fathers, and the zoning departments being absolutely pummeled to try to force them to allow a slaughterhouse, Islamic slaughterhouse, to take place, be built, developed right into a community of residences. It ought not to be put in any place in the city, but they're being pushed now. I've been told by an insider by the city council that it will not pass, but it's been brought back up now before the zoning people, for the zoning people to rehear. And my opinion, we need to check, see what's happening. Who's getting paid? Who's being pushed? Who's being backed into the corner and threatened with their election if they do not pass it? We're on the verge of seeing Islamic jihadists stand up, speak up, and jerk the city council around and pass legislation that will allow the slaughterhouse, the Islamic slaughterhouse, to be built. That's how they work. It's not peaceful. It is not tolerant whatsoever. And that is what is taking place. So the question that you ask, inadvertent question, was what can we do as Christians? We need to be in church. We need to be faithful. We need to be salt and light. We need to not be fearful of standing for truth and standing against the enemy. And we know the enemy. We know who the enemy is. We know the enemy's goal, and we need to stand against it, not bow, not bend, and is in the third chapter of the book of Daniel, not burn. Lisa, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you've tuned in today. It is our prayer that what has been said today will cause you to think, to give prayerful consideration of how can you be better salt, better light in the society in which we're living in today to prevent Islamic jihadists from taking over and destroying our nation. It is my prayer that you'll pray, look up, recognize our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issue.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about